Galatians 5, and we come to number 6 in the list, to goodness. For the preacher, just one word. So my wife very nicely said, he won't have a lot to say if there's only one word. Well, I've had to work hard on this, I have to say. But one of the things that has struck me, of course, is this, that there is 15 bad things that are mentioned in the verses that we read. Absolutely horrendous things, aren't they? Sinful nature at its worst. And quite clearly, when people live like that, there is absolutely no fruit for God. It is fruitless in every sense. And it marks somebody who, as far as God is concerned, is dead. Deadness in Scripture, in the spiritual sense, is not quite the same as what we think of, though it does mean the same in a sense. Separation, it means. So when somebody passes on, they are separated from us, aren't they? Sadly, we have that separation. But deadness in the Scripture with regard to God is separation from God. And quite clearly, there's a deadness here in those 15 things that are mentioned. But, and there's one of these lovely Bible buts in verse 22, but instead of the deadness and the fruitlessness, the Christian has this to think about: 9 wonderful virtues called the fruit of the Spirit, which are producing fruitfulness, and they mark life. When these qualities and characteristics are seen in somebody's life, it indicates not spiritual deadness, but spiritual life. It shows clearly that somebody is linked to the Lord, and very clearly it is a sign of health and a sign of a healthy life. What is really clear is this. I'm sure you've noted this before, that these wonderful 9 virtues are seen more in the life of the Lord Jesus than in any other way. And if we really want to understand love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control, we look at the life of the Lord Jesus. Rightly, it was we sang, when to the world the Saviour came. And we talked about, sang a little bit about his life. That's why I chose that one, because I felt that his life shows so clearly all of this. Somebody has suggested there are 3 groups here, and probably you've noted that already. The first 3, love, joy and peace, are really about our relationship with God. And the sort of state that we have in connection with God. The next 3 are more related to our relationship with man, showing patience and kindness and goodness. And the 3rd group are more aspects of personal character, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Difficult in some ways to separate, but particularly might be helpful to just have those thoughts in our minds. So we come to goodness. And how do we define it? Well, I found 2 definitions which I thought were quite helpful. One is love in action. This is one of the difficulties with these fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? That some of them sound very similar. Couldn't spend a lot of time, but you could try and define the difference between love and kindness. Or possibly between patience and gentleness. Or possibly between goodness and kindness. But goodness perhaps has been defined as love in action. Or generosity is another thought that somebody suggested, which I thought was quite helpful, in heart, in mind, in hand, in mind, in heart. That is something that sort of flows from our lives. And that's what goodness is. It's something that flows from our lives. Where does it come from? You remember how one man came to the Lord and he said, "Good master, what does hinder me to have eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus picked him up on what he said. And he said, "There is none good but one, that is God." And what he was really saying is, all goodness has its source in God. Goodness doesn't come from human nature. All those 15 other things come from human nature. Naturally, goodness does not come from us. It comes from God. But that goodness flows from him into his people, into believers, almost like a river, which can then flow from us for the benefit of others. That's, in a sense, how we can understand goodness. It comes from God, and it flows to us so that from us it can come to other people. I thought we would think about six different things this evening. And the first is the examples of love, of goodness, because I think that helps us to understand it. It was said of Barnabas, and I'll read it to you, when he went to Antioch, when he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. This man Barnabas is described as a good man. So obviously goodness came from his life. And what is the link between that and Barnabas? Maybe it's this. He was true to the Lord with all, or he encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. I think that's a good way of describing goodness. Somebody who is true to the Lord with all their hearts. I'd love to think that it could be said of me that true to the Lord, which means faithful to the Lord, doesn't it? Not just in word, but in deed, with all their hearts. That's what he encouraged the Christians in Antioch to be like. But he must have been like that, because Scripture says of him, he was a good man, true to the Lord, I think, with all of his heart. But then, of course, the Lord Jesus. John 10:11, you know so well, the Lord Jesus simply said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. That meant a contrast between the shepherds that were supposedly the leaders of Israel at that time, who were anything but good shepherds. In the previous chapter, you remember chapter 9 of John's Gospel, they literally put out of the temple the man who had been, who was blind, who the Lord Jesus had given sight to. And they put him out. They weren't good shepherds, they were bad shepherds in many senses. The Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and he emphasized that. But then in John 10:38, and Peter is now talking to Cornelius. And he's telling them, Cornelius, about the Lord Jesus. And he says this, he went about doing good. And whether we're thinking of the way that the Lord Jesus dealt with the sick or the poor or the disturbed or the confused, he went about doing good. The Lord Jesus was a great example. Barnabas was a good man. The Lord Jesus equally showed that goodness in all that he said and all that he did and everything that he showed in his behavior. He went about doing good. I was quite amused by a comment that was made about that statement, and said the problem is that most of us go about doing, but we don't go about doing good. We all go about, and we all go about doing, and that's our lives, isn't it? But could we add that word on the end? As the Lord did, wherever he went, whatever situation he was in, he went about doing good. Goodness literally flowed from his life wherever he went. He did good. And then, of course, if you get to 1 Peter and chapter 2 and verse 3, you're reminded of a similar thought there. Because there we're told, you have tasted that the Lord is good. And we found that to be true, isn't it? Some would suggest that when it's referred to in that way, it means sincere or genuine. And we have never found him in any way failing us. But when we've trusted in the Lord and tasted of the Lord, he's shown to be good in every sense of the word. So that's the first thought. If we want to seek goodness, we think of a man like Barnabas who stood out because he was true to the Lord with all his heart. And we think about the Lord Jesus himself, who went about showing that goodness in so many different ways. The second thought I had was evidence. And the idea is very much this. Ephesians 5 seemed to put it to me very clearly in verse 8. I'm sorry to go around a bit, but with only one word, we've got to move a little bit. And he says this, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." I thought, that's good. Because somebody could easily say, I am a Christian. I follow the Lord. I seek to live for Him. But if their life doesn't match their confession, and we see more of the sort of things that we read about, those 15 terribly sinful things, we've got to question whether that person really is committed to following the Lord, whether they're really trusting in the Lord. They can say it with their mouths, but are they living it with their lives? And what Paul is saying here is, now that you've come out of darkness, you've got to live as though you were in the light. And one of the aspects of living in the light consists of goodness and righteousness and truth. And he's challenging the Christians in Ephesus to show goodness and righteousness and truth in their life as evidence that they've come out of darkness and into light. You see, the same thing happens in Galatians 6, if you've still got that open. He says, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." And he's encouraging them to do good, because he says in verse 9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap the harvest if we do not give up." So goodness is very clearly what a Christian does as evidence that they belong to the Lord Jesus and they are following Him. And we should show that goodness day by day. 2 Timothy 3 and 17 is a great verse after we've been taught about the importance of the Bible. And then Paul says that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. As we learn from the scripture, we want to put it into practice, and we are therefore showing that we are men and women of God, thoroughly furnished, says the Authorized Version, to every good work. It is evidence that we belong to Him, and we need to show that, don't we? My third thought was encouragement, because I went to Timothy, and to Peter, I should say, and there is a well-known passage that I'm sure you've looked at from time to time, but it's very relevant here, because in 2 Peter 1 and verse 5, he says this, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." There are 8 qualities. And Peter is saying, make every effort to add to the faith that you have to goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Where does it all start? You make every effort. Which in a way goes against what I've just been saying, doesn't it? Because I said it came from God, and that's true. But that puts a responsibility on ourselves to let that goodness show in our lives, that we make that visible, it's displayed. We have a responsibility. Yes, we've got to show the evidence that we belong to Christ, and we do that, and this is the encouragement. Goodness is the basis of love, and it must develop in us. And as it says, you start with faith, you end with love, but all these other things come in between, and we have to add to them, and add to them, and add to them, and add to them. You and I have a part to play. And it may well be that sometimes we get very unsatisfied with our lives, don't we? And we think that things are happening that we know shouldn't happen, and that really concerns us. And I guess that's the time when we spend time quietly with the Lord, and we mention those things that are concerning us, and we ask that He will help us to add to our faith goodness, and all the other aspects or virtues that Peter mentions in this great passage. And maybe it's between us and the Lord to ask him to help us, because I believe that he can and I believe that he will. So we have seen the example of a living goodness. We have been reminded that it's evidence that we belong to God and we belong to Christ, and we've moved out of the darkness of the past and the deadness of the past into the light and life of following Christ, and it's seen. But we've also reminded ourselves of the encouragement, and that's important, that we should add. We've got a situation which we do it apart ourselves. We have a part to play. That is one of the great truths of Scripture that I have discovered in more recent times. We see that God does mighty, wonderful, great, marvellous, majestic things. We know that. We believe that. But nearly always when we examine these things, somebody has done something. They've played their part. You think of perhaps Moses taking the people of Israel across the Red Sea. Moses was told to lift up his staff there. He had to stand there with his staff lifted up. And then, of course, the Red Sea parted and the people came across. You think of Elijah on Mount Carmel. He had to build the altar, put the sacrifice on it, cover it with all the barrels of water and so on. And then God sent the fire from heaven. There was a part to play. And you and I have a part to play. We can't just sort of say, God, please make me good. We have a part to play in that. And we should make every effort to do that. But then the next thought was the extent. And back in Ephesians, because Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 2 a great thing. He's saying, listen, you've been brought into this wonderful situation of salvation. And the reason why you've been brought into it is this. That it is by grace you have been saved, verse 8. Through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one could boast. But we are his, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We could spend a lot of time on that particular verse, but it does remind us of this. Our works do not give us salvation, otherwise we would be boasting about it, and we're told that that will never happen. But God has saved us, and God has brought us out from the darkness of the past. We are his workmanship. He's worked in our lives, created us in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works. That is the extent of what God has done for us. He's done all of that he might see good works. And as we read in Ephesians, that we might bring pleasure to him. If you remember that verse about the darkness and the light, was telling us quite clearly that he's brought us out of darkness into light to bring pleasure to him. And that pleasure comes when he sees good works in us. If we don't produce any good works, there's nothing that brings him pleasure. But when we do live as he wishes and seek to do that which he has done for us, then those good works bring him pleasure. And you'll notice that it says, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I can't begin to totally understand that. But God has given us tasks, and there's no doubt about it, those tasks are there for us to understand and to do. And each of us are different, aren't we? I know why I'm working in Dorset, at least I think I do. I know the Lord called me there for that, in doubt. But he never called me to France or Africa or anywhere like that, because I could never learn the language. So I've got a blockage up here, and it would never have happened, I don't think. Maybe he'd have given me extra strength, I don't know, but it was far easier to have me in Dorset speaking my own Dorset dialect that I'd learned since I was a baby, and that seemed more thing, because I couldn't do that. But maybe God created me to do something different, which he had planned, and my gifts, my talents, whatever they are, should be following what he wants me to do. That's what we were talking about this morning, isn't it? And God has given us that. So this is the extent of goodness. It is created to do the works that God wants us to do, which he's prepared for us to do, and he's prepared us to do them. An explanation. There is a difference between being good and doing good. A difference. You see, some people would go out of their way to do good. But in their heart of hearts, they are far from being good. Maybe they are kind, maybe they're friendly, maybe they're helpful. But we know that that's coming from something which is not right. And the Lord Jesus talks a lot about this, because in those days there was an awful lot of sham and people who were living and doing things that they shouldn't have done. And he talks about this. He says, make a tree good, Matthew 12, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You can't get good fruit from a bad tree. But if the tree is good, then the fruit will be good. That's an explanation. And he mentions it again. He's really, in Matthew 7, he's really saying this, by your fruits you shall know them. So this is an important thing to recognize. We have to be good to do good. And the only way we can be good is to have the touch of the Spirit of God upon us and the life of Christ within us. And then we are good, and then that helps us to be good, that helps us to do good. Being good, doing good, two different things, aren't they? And there are people around in the street are doing wonderful things. But they don't know the Lord. They're still in the darkness. They're still in the deadness that we've been talking about. But as God changes a person's life, then quite clearly, they begin not only to be good, and then they can do good. And then finally, as time rushes by, 1 Peter 4, the purpose for which God has done this, the end, perhaps something that we ought to think about, because what has he done this for? And 1 Peter 4:10 was a verse that I discovered that I thought maybe would fit this, because there he says this: each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. Now, some of the translations put something like to do good for others, faithfully administering God's grace in various forms. We should do it. This goodness that we show as a mark of the fact that God is within us, he's changed our lives, and that we're growing in him, and we're seeking to show that we are good by what we do. This is for the benefit of others. We do good for others. That's a really wonderful thing, isn't it? And the Good Samaritan, I suppose, is a great example of that. Going down that road from Jerusalem to Jericho, he found that man, and he did good for him. He did good for him. It was for that man's benefit. The goodness was not for the Good Samaritan's benefit. It was for the other man's benefit. And that's the purpose and the plan of goodness. So we've thought about six different things. The example of seeing goodness in life. The evidence that this proves that we belong to the Lord. We've moved out of the darkness into light. The encouragement that we should do and make an effort ourselves. That extent is that this is the works that God has prepared for us to do, the good works, knowing the difference between being good and doing good, and then to think, what's the purpose of it all? That we should show that goodness to others, particularly as the Lord Jesus did. We've chosen a very simple little chorus, really, to sing to conclude.